Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Sabbath day. Thank you for the preached word. Thank you for fellowship of the believers. Thank you for this time for us to gather and open your word and encourage one another in our daily walks. May you be with us in the midst of our conversation today. May we learn more of your heart for us. May it change us. May our affections become ordered under you rather than the disordered affections that we tend to pursue. Thank you for each one here. We also lift up Pete and his mom too. That you be with him. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So I have a confession to make. I do not like coffee. I've never liked coffee. I've tried chocolate in coffee. I've tried bourbon in coffee. I've tried everything in coffee. And I don't like coffee. You can't hide it. Now, I love the smell of coffee. I love the idea of coffee. I love watching people have coffee. Really, the confession is I'm somewhat covetous about people that drink coffee because it looks so fun. I mean, out here we have this huge layout of coffee, and I don't like it. And I'm like, what about the rest of us that don't like coffee? There's a few of us. Now, I was a big Diet Coke drinker because I needed my caffeine some way. And I don't know if there is one anymore, but there used to be a Coke machine downstairs, what I would call at the end of the green hallway over there. And all us bad people would meet on Sunday morning with our quarters to get our sodas. And I knew who they were because they didn't like coffee either. And so we were like banished to the down hallway because we weren't coffee drinkers. And so, you know, I've missed out on coffee drinking. And actually, when Mona and I were first married, my parents came over to stay with us from North Carolina 6-9 months after we were married. And I hear my dad go, son, this was the next morning after the first night they stayed here. He said, where's your coffee maker? Where's your coffee pot? And we looked at each other and realized, she doesn't drink coffee either. Now, she'll drink it with all sugared up and fun. She can drink some of it, but not me at all. We didn't even own a coffee pot when we got married. It was just not in my... So guess what I got from Christmas from my dad? I got a coffee pot. And so we got the old silver Farberware percolator coffee pot. We had it forever, and so we pulled it out every time we had company or them. So that's how far it goes back to not having coffee. Well, 10 years ago, I think it was, we moved into a high-rise downtown after the last one graduated from high school, just the two of us. And her effort to get me off of the diet sodas, she said, you need to learn to drink tea. Okay? Tea's got a bitterness. So bitter is what I don't like. It. You taste bitter on the back side of your tongue. I don't know if you think about it, that's where you get it. And then licorice, all that stuff, not for me. And so some tea has some bitterness and So we tried a few things. Then we came upon Hanley and Sons hot cinnamon spice tea. Okay, I can drink that. So we started having tea every morning about 9 or 10 years ago. Sit on a round little table or sit on the porch, and we had tea. And I got to hold the hot cup like everybody else does, and I get to drink tea. Now we even have a Nespresso frother. So I have some of the accoutrements now that I see everybody have. And so you're going, where is he going with this story? And what does this have to do with Sunday morning? So I'm telling you this story because even in my covetous, you know, lack of coffee-liking person that I was, God led me to a really sweet gift out of that. And so we began to drink tea together in the morning. And prior to that, that was not a routine in our relationship, okay? Because we didn't do coffee in the morning. And I watched my son and his wife come to town, and who's making the coffee, and they have this dance they do together around coffee, because that's just what people do. And even at the office, I mean, you see it everywhere. And so we began to have tea in the morning. And what came out of that was a sweet devotional time for me personally, but as well with her. So what I want to do this morning is talk about that and have you guys do tea time with us. And we don't have tea, you may have your coffee. But the reason I want to introduce this is Many of us struggle sometimes with the daily discipline of our walk with the Lord. We beat ourselves up because I should be doing some deep theological study every morning, or lauding it over my children or with my children, or if I'm single, I need to be preparing myself as a believer, you know. And sometimes we make it really hard, okay? And so for me this morning, I want to introduce you into a concept of some simplicity. We're going to use something that Mona and I have used. It's not the only thing, but I want you at the end of this morning to begin to think about what is your morning routine and how do you start it with the Lord. The tool doesn't matter. The time doesn't matter. The place doesn't matter. Make it work for you. And what I learned with being a tea drinker is it sat me still for a few moments in the morning. It caused a pause, and it created a space for me. And it created a space with my spouse. So not only was it a blessing to me in my own walk with the Lord, but it was a blessing in my relationship with my wife because we would talk about what the Lord was teaching us through this mechanism. So let me pause here. What we're going to do together is no substitute for good Bible study. Just make sure you should be in a Bible study every week with some people or through a study of your own that has some substance. You need to be reading through the scripture. We need to be taking that in. It is God's conversation with us through his word. So, but I want to encourage you with this time together, because sometimes you're too busy or we have periods of our life that we can't do the big study, but you can do something, okay? There's something about the regular meeting of the Lord, right, that matters to us. So, tea time, which was the title of my talk, now you know why I called it tea time, is that time in the morning that you may spend with the Lord. Now, so couple years ago when we started doing this, we picked up this thing called morning and evening. You guys know what this is? A lot of people do. It's daily readings by C.H. Spurgeon, okay? Now, if you're somebody that likes books, right, I do, especially little books, especially if they have leather on the outside of them with a built-in bookmarker, right? Those in the crowd that know who you are, you appreciate it. It's a great little book. And he has a devotion every morning and every evening for the whole year. It's really laid out well. And guess what? You see this? It's only one page. It's not long, right? Which is critical sometimes for this morning routine. But let me tell you, it's dense. It's a point. Well, guess what? I'm gonna pass out. I made it big for you. So you're gonna have tea time with me this morning. And we're gonna go through this exercise together at our tables, okay? Now, Spurgeon uses words we don't use anymore. This was written in the 1800s, is he? That's right. We would look words up as we read this together. And I'm going to encourage you. You know how you can read through something and not remember what you read? You can read through this and not remember what you read, but I like the fact that it forces you to think while you read, which we've lost that art in the days of headlines and tweets and shortness of attention span. So there's much, I think, that goes to studying the word, is that stop, get your cup of your favorite warm beverage in the morning, and pay attention. And so lean into this. There are other tools. I'm going to talk about another one here in a minute, because we went through this two or three years. We went through it. Now, it's got in morning and evening, so you're thinking, oh, I should do this in the morning and the evening. Well, we weren't that good. So we did two in the morning. We did the evening before, and we did the morning of. Now, you can do whatever you want, but we got to where we liked it so much, and we felt like we were missing the evening, so we did both in the morning, okay? Now, for those of you that don't like little leather books with cute little bookmarks in them, there is an app called Morning and Evening. It's the exact thing, same thing on your phone. Now, Why did that come up for me? Well, you'll read these and you'll go, this was so good. And then you tend to go, oh, I need to send this to so-and-so. Now you send it out of encouragement, not as a, a club over someone that needs to know this in their life. But it was a way. So I have the app on my phone as well, and you can mark things as favorites. A little star, you know. It's kind of like highlighting. And so I can go back and I can see all the days in the year. Okay, and so what I did in my prep, I went and looked at some of the ones that were favorites, and I picked two. It's hard to pick just two out of Spurgeon. So there's a nice little app that you can keep on your phone. And also when you're out of town, if you don't have your book with you, you can still, or you get to the office and you forgot, you can take it. Oh, there's a ton. Yeah, and I don't know. M and E is the one that I did. And you can, you just go figure out the one you like. Yeah, come up and look at my phone maybe afterwards if you want to see. There's nothing special about the one I have. But it does have that little star, and I can look at my favorites. And so you can be a techie person. Yeah, blue background with a big M&E, and it's on my screen. So what I want us to do this morning is I've printed out an evening and a morning, front and back. And we're going to pass these out to the table. Okay, here's your assignment. And I didn't put them on the tables because I know people will read them before I can talk about them. And I'll get somebody to help me pass them out. But I want you to start with, which one was it? I want you to start with the one that's January 24. It says evening on it up here at the top. And here's the rules of the game, if you want to call it a game, of engagement. Everybody's going to get one, and you're going to read it silently to yourself. So Mona and I sit. She has her own little copy of this little leather-bound book that sits where we drink tea. And we both read it quietly together. Take your time. You need to think about every sentence because they're packed, okay? And then when you're finished, you just set it down, watch the people at your table, let everybody finish. And then at some point, one of us will look at each other and say, thoughts? And it begins. And then you share, what was it you pulled from this? What did God say to you? Okay? Now, at home, if you don't have a spouse, write it out. Or if you're like me and I'm not a writer and something I'm getting ready to try, I'm going to dictate into my phone. Here's what I'm talking about, right? Or if you have a friend, the end of the day, challenge them to read it in the morning, pause sometime today and go, hey, what did you think about this morning's morning and evening? Right? It's a way to build community. So you're going to get this at the table here. And then you read it. And then you say thoughts. And then you share what spoke to you. Sometimes it's a sentence or two. It could be just about anything. Or a question. Boy, what was that word? He has a lot of allusion to scriptural truth. He'll say something, and it's really a biblical story. He doesn't always quote. There is a verse at the top. There's nothing magical about this one, but I want you to go through it. So, Mona, will you help me pass this out to everybody on that side of the table? And then we're just going to do the evening, and then we're going to come back together and talk for a minute. And then hopefully we'll do the second one as well. Morning and evening is on the top of this page, so you'll see it. If I don't put enough on your table, I can't count them all out. Pages all stick together. Why don't you move to a table with somebody? Okay, good. I don't want you to be by yourself. Yeah, hey, just by you. Hey, somebody just said there's a tribe of tea drinkers. So all the tea drinkers, there's no tea out there. It's over back over here. So I'm actually, in my preparation this week, I'm going to go talk to the church folks and say, why don't we move the tea? I mean, I go to other churches when I'm traveling, and they have a tea station, right? We don't have one. So we need a tea station, don't you think, at our church? I'm going, what's the budget for coffee at PCPC? Have you thought about that? All right, start with the one that says evening. And the question is, if you don't know what you want to say yet, you ask thoughts first. All right. finish up. We're going to, let me pull you back up here. Close out your last thought. Now, you might find that some of you finished before others, or one of you had less thoughts than another. That's okay. There's no judgment here. I've still got a couple people talking. Sometimes we go through our tea before we're finished discussing one, and that's okay. But I want to point a couple things. It's not that long to read, is it? Okay. It is pretty dense. And there's stuff in there, right? And it makes you think. One of the things I like about Spurgeon, he starts off with Mary here, right? And the challenge of either you're a Martha or Mary and you hate the other one, or if you're a Martha, you don't like Mary if you're a doer. And if you're a Mary, you're judgmental of the Martha because why don't you get it? You know, and I love that he says we need to be both, right? It's both. It's both and. And why are we serving? Do you ask yourself that? What's my motive? Those are things that should come out of something like this. Why am I serving? For whose purpose? Is it for the approval of man? Is it a sense of self-justification and works on my part to clean myself up, which we've talked a lot about in this class? There's a lot there. He also tends to transition, and you end with something very different than you started out with. And he'll take this little verse or take a word. I mean, it's really amazing what he'll expand on. And I like that the second half of this paragraph was a different conversation than the first one. First, we started talking about service and the motive of our heart, and then we need to be both. But then he moves into, what is your worship? I picked this one because this pertains to what we're talking about. Where is my walk and my communion with the Lord? Which is what he's asking. I love the line. You're asking, Tim, what are your thoughts? The more spiritual the exercise, the sooner we tire in it. Don't run over that. Why? Why do I tire of that? Let the Lord work through that with me. Where is my heart? Why do I tire of that which should bring him and me most joy? What does that percolate up in my heart? The choicest fruits are the hardest to rear. The most heavenly graces are the most difficult to cultivate. So things of value take time. Building your walk with Christ takes time. You have to find your tea time, right? You have to find your tools, and they change over time. See to it that sitting at the Savior's feet is not neglected, even though it be under the specious pretext of doing him service. Right? One of the things Mona and I talked about when our kids were little, and then our kids went to the Park Cities, and the PTA is filled with hyper moms, right, that are doing service. And I think it was her wisdom, I don't know, or someone else told us, you can go be in the PTA, but only volunteer for the things that are with your child. There's a lot of wisdom in that. In other words, there's a lot of service done in the cause of all kinds of things, but your children aren't benefiting for them that time at the school, right? Same thing. We're so busy serving others, which God calls us to, but does it sacrifice the greater thing? Keep ourselves in perpetual communion with the Lord Jesus. That's a great way to start the day. Was this hard? No, it's not. It can be deep, it can be light. There's lots of them. All right, so now you got the swing of it the first time. Turn your page over. We're going to do a day, and it's going to be Psalm 55:22. So take a few minutes and read through this one. I see people with pencils out, and it's great. It's great. So read through that. Ask thoughts. And we'll come back together at the end of this one, too. All right. Start closing up your comments, and we'll come back. Okay. There's a lot to talk about in this one. A question for you all. Did anybody, when you started reading this one, kind of struggle at the beginning? I find when sometimes I read some of his stuff, I'm like, what is he saying? And I mean, it really makes me slow down. And sometimes I have to just kind of keep reading and hopefully it comes to me. Or sometimes we'll go, I need to read this again. I'll read the whole thing a second time, right? That's okay too. It's kind of part of the fun. His brain is fascinating to me. So cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. There's a lot in this one. There's a lot to underline as I look at it. There's a lot of some deep truths in there. The very essence of anxious care is the imagining that we are wiser than God. Let's always think about the root issues, not the behavior, right? Why am I anxious? I think I know better than God. God, if you just let me be in control here, I'd fix this, right? What is anxious care? Where is that coming from? What does that say about my theology? Which really is, what does that say about who God really is in my life? And if you're sitting there having your tea in the morning, you're reading that, and you see the day before you, can I lay my arms down? Right? Can I rest? A very good question. And what did he say? And then thrusting ourselves into his place to do for him that which he is undertaking to do for us. We attempt to think that we fancy he will forget. Isn't that true? Oh, he won't know if I don't do it. We labor to take upon ourselves our weary burden as if we were unable or unwilling to take it, or if he wasn't unwilling to take it for us. Or then, a couple lines later, he goes, yet more than this, anxious care often leads to acts of sin. Wow. So not only am I not trusting God, I'm sinful in that I want to be in control of my own life. This is going to the broken cistern instead of to the fountain. He's talking about our own wisdom, right? The line before, in human wisdom, this is going to the broken cistern, quote unquote, instead of the fountain, a sin which was laid against Israel of old. Does anybody know that allusion? Some like, okay, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Have you heard something about broken cisterns and fountains? Well, stop and look it up, right? We've got tools. So I did it right now. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, referenced, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. No pun intended, that's deep. Right? That's us, outbuilding our own cisterns that actually hold nothing. My wisdom is leading me astray. So he will allude to all kinds of biblical references, and he doesn't put the biblical reference in there for you? Dadgone it. Well, no, I like that, because that forces me to open my Bible and go find it. And, you know, it's kind of like I hated my third grade teacher. Trottle up. Do you know how to spell procrastination? Yes. Do you? No. There's a dictionary over there on the shelf. Go find it. How can I find it if I don't know how to spell it, right? I mean, we've all had those teachers. But, you know, the act of going and using the dictionary, and I will remember that word. That's the same with the Lord. We need to work and handle the scripture. Look these things up, ponder, or make a note. Come back later in the day or on the weekend if you've got to rush out the door, right? There's a lot in this one. Now, what's interesting is it kind of pairs well with what we read before, right? There's some crossover there. We could talk a lot about that. Look up the scripture. Couple of helpful tips here too. For those of you that like to maybe, ooh, this would be a good word for a friend I know that's struggling with this, AKA my children, right? Oh, I need to say that. Or there's some friends that need to The app lets you copy and paste or actually send the link to the morning and evening to them in a text. Really kind of cool, right? The other thing, for those of you that don't know, which I learned, you can actually take a picture with your phone of a page, and then when you go open up the picture, you can copy and paste the words right out of your picture and then paste into a text or an email. Pretty cool. Some of you may know that. It's really, you can do it on a sign, you can do it all kinds of stuff, and capture and then copy and paste and send to people. So the combination of the book and the technology is really helpful. Okay. Now you may ask, as we did, after we'd gone through this 2 years in a row, do we go a third year? I mean, you read it and you're like, I don't remember that one from last year. And it's kind of fun to read it twice. So then what do we do next? So we happened to have gone to a meeting where at someone's house, and Sinclair Ferguson was going to be there with David Gibson. This was about 2 years ago. Sinclair Ferguson's very well-known systematic theologian, pastor, worked at our church years ago when we were younger, huge influence on, he's written tons of books, we love him, and his Scottish brogue is unbelievable. We went to this event, we were talking, and picked up the book, The Whole Christ, which you've heard me reference, that I really liked, and all his books. And then someone mentioned, you know he has a podcast. I went, whoa. And I've never been a big podcaster. I'm a technology guy, but I hadn't gone there yet. My kids were podcasters. They said, oh yeah, he has a podcast he does. It's called Things Unseen. And it's through the Ligonier Ministry, which was a big for R.C. Sproul, for those that may be interested. And it's a 5-minute podcast, Monday to Friday, 52 weeks. And you get to hear this lovely Scottish brogue, theologian. Now, it is the most packed 5 minutes that you will ever listen to. It is like a full sermon. It is amazing how he can articulate and condense something so beautifully in such a short period of time. His understanding of Scripture, the beauty of Christ, he's just amazing. A very big fan of the gifts that God has given this man. And so we started Things Unseen, and we totally got hooked. Now, same problem. Oh, so-and-so needs to hear this. And so there's an app, you know, the podcast. You can actually, it'll tell you, it'll transcribe it, and so you can copy, paste out of that. But then we found out there's a book of the whole year, day by day, 52 weeks. So both Mona and I have our own book. And we open it, or we'll want to read it instead of having to re-listen, and we can mark the pages. So we're not going to go through this morning, as tempted as I am, because it is deep. We have referenced this to many friends that have gotten hooked on it. It is a lovely way to be ministered to, and it's deep too. And I'm just going to read a couple of the topics for you in the table of contents. By the way, huh? Do you like it? There's something about hearing him, though, too. Listen to the podcast, too. Now, just so you know, we actually thought we started in, like, October or something of that year. I can't remember. And we're like, oh, no, it's going to be over. So we're trying to go back to the beginning of the year. He only did 1 year. We thought he was doing 2 years or three. Let's keep going. But it just replays the same year over and over, okay? So January starts back over, and they just lay it out for you every year, so you can follow it. And you can mark on your podcast if it's been played or unplayed, and all the tools there, and you can get the book. But let me read some of the table of contents to encourage you. This is like going to seminary, you guys, with a 5 to 7 minute broadcast. Divine revelation, Scripture, 5 days on Scripture, worship, who is God? The fruits of the Spirit. He did that over 2 weeks. Right? Galatians, went through every fruit of the Spirit. It's incredible. Did the Ten Commandments, attributes of God, Passion Week. Incredible. Now, it doesn't always fall on Easter because you have to pick because Easter moves around, but it's in there. What is man? Incredible. The spine that holds your Old Testament together. I mean, you know, Lord's Prayer, the Ascension, the Trinity, Pentecost, the person and nature of Christ. It was incredible. I'm skipping around. The Holy Spirit, providence of God, the emotions of Jesus, sanctification, baptism, the Lord's Supper, Christian family, covenant. He did a thing on Romans, titles of Jesus. There's one on Christmas. Two very interesting ones that we really enjoyed. Places that matter to me. And he talked about places that were had spiritual impact on him. And so guess what we did? We shared with one another places in our life. Very interesting conversation. He also did people in his life, unnamed people. He couldn't even know their name, but said something, did something. Very reflective. So I would encourage you, you can pick whatever you want. It doesn't have to be Spurgeon. It doesn't have to be Things Unseen, but those are two easy ones. Both of these books, by the way, are in the library downstairs. So they're there, and you can buy them. There's different versions of this one, but the leather, little small ones, even better. We gave these to our kids. My son still has his. And we got a video. It's going to make me cry. You say it. But what a gift. Here's this 3-year-old watching her dad. It's very sweet, right? So they're just really practical things. So I wanted to share this with you. So thank you for letting me introduce you into our tea time. Make it your own. And it will evolve based on the stage of life you're in, the phase of life you're in, where your spiritual needs are. But let me make sure I end with, these are not Scripture. These are men or women telling you about Scripture, which is beneficial to us and can help us in the daily things. But it is here that I want to make sure you're doing some Bible study on your own. The women have a lovely Bible study on Thursday mornings. Wednesday night is co-ed men and women Bible study, inductive Bible study. There are things like BSF. There are other things out there that are tremendous that I want to encourage you. But I tell you, when you start doing stuff like this, it whets your appetite. The Lord grows desire for His Word. And so start. If the Bible is dry as dust to you right now, if God feels very far from you, that's okay. He's not left you. Begin. Start. Do what you can and let the Lord bring your heart along. Again, thank you. We'll close in prayer. Okay? Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gifts of men like Spurgeon and Ferguson that help lead us into the deeper truths. Lord, as we head off into the week of Thanksgiving, may we not be a Martha only. May we not be a Mary only. May we be both. May we serve those around us because of what you've done for us. Help us to be fully in our relationship with you so that we can care for those around us this week, a week that sometimes brings much tension with family. Also, may our cares be given to you. May you carry our burdens. May we rest in you and in your wisdom and not our own. May we be patient with our circumstances and wait and watch for you to move and to listen for what you would have for us this week. Help us to be thankful. Help us to remember all that you've done for us. And we thank you for God's people and His church. In Christ's name, amen. You guys have a great Thanksgiving.